of this line in an old hymn of the church. It goes, "Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all." Lord, thank you for your amazing love for us. Who could earn it? Who could merit it? But you freely give it. And we're so grateful. Thank you for your great kindness to us. Just before you're seated, take a moment and make the Lord happy and just simply say, "Thank you for saving me." Hallelujah. God bless you guys. Go ahead and be seated. I'm going to ask two of our four deacons are not with us today, but two are. I'm going to ask Matt and I'm going to ask Ed to come right now. Hallelujah. And they're making a presentation to me on Tuesday. It's my 64th birthday. And so these guys are going to, so.
Yeah, the deacons do want to present. We have a gift for you, Pastor Brad, today. And before I give this to you, I'm going to be a little bit bold right now, but the Lord has impressed upon me. Last night we prayed for this church, and I know what's on Pastor Brad's heart. When he has his birthday present, he wants to see God just pour out on all of his people in this church. That's his heart. And the Lord's been impressing on me this next year that we need to grab a hold of being debt-free. We are going to see God, I really firmly believe, pay off this mortgage next year for this church. This church is going to be debt-free. And I just want everyone here, just in your spirit, just raise your hands up and say, "Lord, in my family, I want to be debt-free." And it's just like Paul and Silas was in prison. We prayed last night in the fireplace room that an earthquake came and set and broke all the shackles free. So I pray right now over all of us that your earthquake would be sent here, Lord, that in your spirit you would break off the shackles of debt off of every family in this church, Lord. So this church, including the church and the finances for this church, would be completely debt-free. And that God would give Pastor Brad an awesome birthday present this year, for this week. I didn't even expect this week. We prayed last night that somebody would come up with a check to pay off this mortgage, even on his birthday, and give him a special birthday present. So let's just believe in faith. I pray right now, Lord, that you bless Pastor Brad all of the years of service that he has done for this church. I pray that, Lord, that you rejuvenate him, restore his body, Lord. I pray for supernatural health to come upon him and Pastor Debbie. I pray in their family, Lord, that blessings, Lord, would just come, and you give him a skip in his step, Lord, because he sees the turnaround already happening for this church and our community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Go ahead. You can pull that out, Ed, so you can show the church what we got him. So while he's doing that, I just want to tell you guys something. So this week is Pastor Brad's 64th birthday, and in March, this church is going to be celebrating 32 years. So put that together. Pastor Brad has given half of his life to this church. So hang on before you clap. This is something that is really significant, right? And it's really worth honoring, because this church has gone through three or four different locations, right? Three or four, maybe it's four. We've gone through assistant pastors have come and gone. I don't know if there's any founding members of the congregation that are still here. There might be like one or two. But there's one thing that's remained over the past 32 years, and that's Pastor Brad has been here, and he has consistently, diligently, and relentlessly sought the truth of the Word of God for this church. And so that's something that this church is blessed with, and that's something that we should be honoring Pastor Brad for. So this week is his birthday. We have a Thanksgiving Eve service, right? It's on his birthday. So If you want to bring your cards or your any way you want to honor him, he really likes gift cards. So, so whatever you want to do to honor him, try and do that this week. And you know, this is really significant. Half of his life has been spent pushing this church forward and mentoring people all over the world. I mean, he's released people all over the world to spread the word of God. And that's significant. I want to make sure that we as a church honor him. So give it up for Pastor Brad.
Amen. Thank you. Well, hey, Ed and Matt, just stay with me for a moment. Thanks. Would you guys come back up here for a moment with me? Thanks, everybody. Go ahead and be seated. It has been my honor, it really, and continues to be my honor. I thought when I came back to home here to Groton and Ledyard area, I thought maybe I would be here maybe 12 years, maybe 15. Never thought 32. But no place I'd rather be than right here. So thank God that he kept Debbie and I and Lindsay and Matt and Felix right here. So we're grateful for that. But I just, I want to do something. There's a couple things I want to do this morning. And what Ed said is true. This is what I, the cards, I love your cards and gift cards. It's all great. It's all great. And I'm honored by that. But this is how I'm praying. This is, I'm asking God to bless me on my birthday by blessing you and releasing something supernatural into your life. That's what I'm asking for. So this is what I want you to do. And I've asked these two deacons to stay with me and stand beside me. And it is said that a pastor is a gift to the church and deacons are a gift to the pastor. And I'm blessed with four men that are tremendous in every way. And so you're going to stand with me. I want you to stand with me one last time. You're not going to stand a long time, but I want you to stand with me. And I want you to lock on to something that you need God to do in your life. He knows what it is. You lock on to that in your mind right now, something you need God to do. And I'm going to pray, even though I don't know all the details, I'm going to pray that God blesses me on my birthday by answering your prayer. Nothing would make me happier. I love cake, but that ain't nothing. Are you ready to pray with me? This is what God has put in my heart to do. I don't do this lightly. This is not an idea. This is a God thing. And I want your faith to arise, and I want you to trust him. Father, right now, we agree. Humbly and simply, through the authority of Jesus' name, I do this by the leading of your Spirit. I'm asking you, like I did last night, that you would bless me on my birthday by blessing, God, the people of Seaport. God, whether they're here in person or online, God, I want to hear testimonies this week of supernatural power and glory, provision, and release. We pray this humbly in your name, Lord. Amen. 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 God bless you. Go ahead and be seated. I want you guys to stand over there for just a moment because you're going to come right back. I'm going to bring you right back in just a moment here. And so just stay with me. I'm so appreciative of all of you that came yesterday and did the work day. The place looks amazing. And you worked so hard. Thank you, Matt, for coordinating that. Some of you were here for hours blowing leaves. And it just looks so nice. Thank you for all of that. Doing that, just so appreciated, all of you, and for doing that. Thanks so very, very much. If you're visiting with us today, we welcome you to Seaport. Great to have you. We're going to clap for you, too. You know, that's our way of saying welcome to you. Hallelujah. And let me just say this, the great way to connect with us contactlessly, you can text the word welcome to the number on the screen. You can do that. If you'll do that, you'll get a little link that comes back. Fill that out. You just click on that and fill it out. And that connects us. That completes the process. If you'd like to do it the old way, by going to the information center and filling out a card, you can do that too. Either way is great. We'd love to connect with you. And let me just simply say something to you. We're about to receive the Lord's tithes. in our offerings. And the verse of scripture that they're bringing up from Philippians 4:19 is a promise that Paul gave to the church of Philippi. This church of Philippi was very concerned, and you've heard me talk about this, was very concerned about Paul, who was their founder and who was now a missionary. And they were very careful to support him and help him and stayed with him over 10 years after he left. 10 years they supported him and helped him. And Paul writes this to them, and he says, but, you know, it's in the message up there, but my God shall supply all of your needs. All of your needs. You know, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something here. As you give, I mean, do not hurt yourself by failing to tithe. If you want to hurt yourself financially, do not tithe. You heard me right. If you want to be cheap to God, he can be cheap to you. He's got deeper pockets. Let me talk to you. If you want to hold back that first 10% and say, no, 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 well, you can do that, but there's no better way to hurt yourself financially than to do that. It's the truth. You can say, oh, that's a pastor thing. You can brush me off if you want to, but that's going to be on you, not on me. That sounds kind of tough, but that's Pastor Brad talking to you, you know? So, but here's what I want to tell you, you know? This is why I've asked the deacons. So you give. You do what the Lord tells you to do. If you're visiting with us, you're visiting with us online, keep your money. I don't want it. You know, this service is a gift to you. Just keep it, you know, if you're visiting with us. Hallelujah. And so let me just say this to you. And here's the reason why I kept the deacons up here. The Lord began to speak to me in late 2019. And then Ed asked me. See, it used to be standard. I got to tell you this story quickly. It used to be standard protocol. This is how Seaport used to set its budget. It's going to sound totally crazy to you, but this is how we used to do it. I would pray. The Lord would give me a figure, and we would build the budget around the figure that the Lord gave me. And it worked flawlessly for years. We moved away from that, and the church went into financial difficulties. And we said, well, that was stupid. We jerked it back this year. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to set the budget at? It's your church, your money. The budget in 2019 was $8,400 a week. The Lord said $10,000. I said, that's crazy, don't you think? I couldn't persuade him elsewise. So $10,000, the board said, at first they were like, whoa. They said, okay, we'll do it. Let's trust God. And then you know what happened this year. And we were doing okay. And then we got behind. Things started getting challenging over the last 8-10 weeks. And you saw the budget. Those of you who follow the budget on our connection page, you saw it go. You saw it drop and drop and drop and drop. Until this past Sunday, we were $30,000 behind budget. That's 3 weeks we were behind. Today, we are not behind. One of you gave a check for $30,000. I've asked these two deacons to stay with me because they stood in faith through this thing. And Thursday night, when we looked at the financial report, it didn't look all that good. Between Thursday night and today, it completely changed. I got to move on here, but let me just simply say, now the budget's back to flat. It doesn't mean we can quit giving. No, we just continue to be faithful. But God can do the amazing. And I'm so grateful that God has given to this church a group of men who have stood relentlessly in faith and said, we're going to trust God no matter what we see on this paper. And because of what's happened, I shared it with a group of pastors without anybody's names. And it has brought incredible encouragement to pastor friends of mine all over Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and missionaries around the world. And that is probably the greater story. Hallelujah. Take a moment with me. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand with me just before Chris comes? Time is getting away from us, but I want you to stand with me just before Chris comes. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Ed. You just continue to stand with me. I want us to lift our voices, and I want to simply say, I want you to lift your voice. I want you to simply say, thank you, Lord. You are the God that provides. Lord, we thank you. You are the God that provides. Lord, you're the God that provides. Hallelujah. And we are grateful. Aren't you grateful? Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Go ahead and be seated. Come on. Chris is going to wrap this series up with us on cross words. Are you ready? I know you're ready. You've been working hard. Hallelujah.
I'm ready.
You're ready. All right.
Good morning, Seaport. How is everybody doing this morning? You know, as we were going through worship this morning, I was standing there and worshiping, and I had tears in my eyes, and I just want to give a big shout out to the band. Because the way that they get us to worship and honor the Lord as we start the service is just, it's amazing. So thank you guys. Now raise your hand if you remember the movie Dumb and Dumber. Anybody remember that movie? In my opinion, probably one of the greatest comedies of all time, and one of the best lines ever is when Lloyd, in preparation for their cross-country adventure, right, he trades in their moped. Or he trades in their van for a moped, straight up, right? And then Harry says to Lloyd, he says, just when I think you couldn't have possibly done anything dumber, you go ahead and do this. And totally redeem yourself. I mean, keep that in mind. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been walking through this series, Crosswords. And we've been discussing those larger, churchy type words, right? The ones that make you go, And they probably make some of the scholars out there smile, and then some of us, we screech. Nonetheless, just to recap and add to our Scrabble repertoire, right? Adam brought us through the 75-pointer. Do you remember? Propitiation, or in short, how God is worthy of our all-out praise. Then Pastor Brad crushed it with a massive 100-pointer last week of sanctification, or the continual process of becoming more Christ-like and becoming whole again. Well, today we're going to move right into redemption. And it's only rocking a cool 65 points on the Scrabble board. However, it's of infinite importance. Can I get an amen for redemption? Now, if that doesn't bring an immediate joy to your heart, follow me as we embark on this journey together. You know, redemption, or to redeem something, what does that actually mean? You know, per the dictionary, this means to buy it back, to restore it, to bring it back from destruction. Has anyone ever had to redeem something? Right? How about this? Has anybody been to a pawn shop? I know I have. Just me. Right? Well, listen, I've fallen on hard times before, right? And I had to, you know, hawk my guitar for a small cash roll. But thankfully, I was able to, you know, pull together enough money in a specified amount of time in order to buy back or, you know, redeem my precious Epiphone. Now, we can compare this to the ever-present slavery that was running rampant through the ancient times, right? People were traded like commodities, just like my guitar. And when armies overtook a certain land, right, all the people that lived there, they became a slave. You know, if you had a debt to pay, you didn't just get an email about it, right? Like, hey, pay this again And then it just, you know, the emails, they just keep coming, right? They would know this very real and physical bondage required something. Some price had to be paid to release them. They knew that they would need to be bought back or they would need to be redeemed in order to be freed. All right, so let's, you know, pull out your preferred biblical viewing platform and let's dig in, because today we're going to be going mostly through the book of Romans, right? I know, as we heard a few weeks ago, that it's one of Adam's favorite books, and I know it's one of my wife's as well. All right? So those that lived during the biblical times, right, this period, they know or they knew what it looked like to be a slave. They could appreciate what being a slave felt like. They could connect with this type of bondage. I don't think we can connect with that today. It was a very real experience for those that lived during that time. You know, and it makes me wonder how the Israelites, who were so familiar with this type of slavery and this type of bondage, how they missed some glaring signals. You know, as Paul takes us through Romans, you get a sense, you get this feeling that they were missing something. But the bondage that they were talking about, or that he was talking about in chapters 2 and 3, it wasn't a physical type of bondage, right? It was this spiritual one. You see, they were locked away in a prison without even knowing how to be freed from it. You know, Paul, he weaves in and out of the law. He speaks about the Ten Commandments and all the rules. They thought that they were free just because they were following the rules. You know, just like a lot of us today, we think because we're, you know, living in the United States, we're a free country and we're following the rules that we're free. You know, they thought because they had these religious formalities, that they had these, you know, this strict code of conduct, that because they were God's chosen people, that they were going to heaven. But they missed the bigger picture, right? Just like a lot of people today. You know, if you take a look up on the screen, when I read through Romans chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, I don't get the sense that God was pleased. But he will pour out his anger and wrath on those who live for themselves, who refuse to obey the truth and instead live lives of wickedness. There will be trouble and calamity for everyone who keeps on doing what is evil. Sounds kind of harsh, right? What about further down in Romans chapter 3, verses 16 and 17? Destruction and misery will always follow them. They don't know where to find peace. You know, I get this feeling that they were confused, that they themselves didn't recognize the spiritual slavery that they had fallen into. It went whew, right over their heads. They were more concerned with this strict adherence vice turning towards God, turning towards the truth, right? And Romans 3:20, it tells us, "For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are." You know, although written almost 2,000 years ago, when we look at the world today, do we still see the same things? Do we see the bad deeds that we've done as bad? Can we clearly see that our choices, right, they're riddled with selfishness, with anger, and with rebellion? Or have we just become so brainwashed into this moralistic society that it makes you think just because you haven't committed the bad sins, you know, those ones that would surely end you up in jail, right? Like if you committed murder, right? And then by that deductive theory, because we aren't bad, then we must be good, right? And because we are good people, then surely we're in the right eyes with God. I mean, worse yet, it makes me think like, I'm a good person, right? I have the I am a good person thoughts. They look at their good deeds without even considering, right, that they're still just as blinded by their intentions, right? I mean, if you look at the world, right, people are celebrating their pride. They're celebrating their competitiveness. They're celebrating their jealousy, right? They don't see any need for their redemption. Be honest with yourself. Does this describe any of you? Does it describe me at times? As we take a closer look at ourselves in comparison to what the scriptures say, I know I find it's the more that I need to cry out. Just like Paul does in chapter 7, verses 21 to 24. And I loved the way that the Message put it here. It happens so regularly that it's predictable. The moment I decide to do good, sin just trips me up. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. Parts of me covertly rebel. And just when I least expect it, they take charge. I've tried everything, and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? You know, and as we start to recognize these flaws, these black marks, you know, we realize that no matter where we look, we're saturated with sin from birth. You know, and perhaps it is this that's the pivot point. Perhaps that this is the reason when folks are lost, when they are spiraling around into the madness of the world, it's so hard to know where to look. It's all around us. Sometimes it just feels so good to do the wrong thing, even though we know it's not good, right? This inner turmoil, this outward pressure, it's relentless. We can't seem to find our way out. The problem that we run into, really, though, is it's a slow fade, right? It'll be okay this once. Maybe it'll be okay just this second time, right? As Pastor Brad told us last week, I can stop whenever I want. You know, nobody wakes up and says, hey, I'm going to be a heroin addict today, right? I don't think I can think of the first person that's ever just walked into the bar and be like, I think I'm going to get my first drink of alcohol today because I want to be an alcoholic, right? Nobody is sitting at their computer covertly clicking on a porn site saying, I'm going to cheat on my spouse today. But once you start to sink, once you just hang on for dear life, because you're grabbing on to anything that comforts you, and no matter what the wreckage, it just will continue to be caused. Listen closely, okay? Listen closely. The pressures of life, they only show what's already inside of you. You know, would it be surprising to you that since March, there's been a 65% increase in suicide and depression? There's been a 70% increase in drug and alcohol abuse. That's crazy, right? It's disheartening. You know, as I was preparing this message, the Lord kept reminding me about what Pastor Brad has been saying since the beginning of the year. I don't know, does anybody remember what he said? He's been saying that the Lord gave him the word and it was exposure, right? Now, I don't know exactly what that means to him, but as we continue to struggle in 2020, it definitely has exposed what is really at the center of most people. And unfortunately, it's not pretty. Fear has taken a hold of us. So take a moment, ask yourself, what's inside of me? Where do I stand? Does that make you feel like you're spiritually drowning? You know, I think it makes Romans 3:7 look crystal clear. Let's pull it back up, right? They don't know where to find peace. Doesn't that just overwhelm you? Paul wants you to feel the weight of it. Because just like the chosen Israelites, they missed it too. But yet, it's so simple. I mean, all of creation groans, don't they? I mean, think about it. We are all thinking about the next best thing, right? Seeking that next venture, that thing that makes us happy even when we aren't drowning, right? But what is that something? You end up chasing this pipe dream only to fulfill the right now. In the moment, some instant gratification, I'll take it right now. You're chasing a dream to fulfill the right now because of that, who's heard the term? FOMO, because of that FOMO, that fear of missing out. But yet we're left with a trail of sin behind us. These thoughts, these dreams, they're misplaced. Sure, they may satisfy the moment. They may focus, and they focus only on you. Right? You can never find that thing that fulfills you that you're seeking. Ourself, right? Ourself. We'll only want more. We will continue to want more and more, whether it's more money, more stuff, more fame. Why is that, you might ask? You see, as we continue further down into Romans, we get the answer. Right? Specifically chapter 8, verse 23. God placed deep within us a foretaste of future glory. So we all have that built within us. We all want that future glory. But not, maybe we don't know what it is exactly. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. Now, regardless of your thought on this, do you want to be released? Is anyone out there really saying, Lord, I will take some suffering? You know, I bet if we put a sign-up sheet out there in the lobby, or if I was standing at the Walmart with a big sign that said, I got free suffering right here, do you think we would have anybody signing up? I don't think so. How about this? Look up here. We too wait with eager hope. And for me, I think this is where the pivot point is for most. Because we can separate those that trust in God and those that selfishly look to the world right here. The Bible tells us, for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. So hold up. You mean we eagerly await a promise? Unfortunately, too many take that which is buried so deep within us, right? That innate inner desire for love, for acceptance, and for forgiveness, right? And what do? We look to the world for it. We look to these external things to fulfill that thing that we're looking for. Does this sound familiar? Nobody? One? Ask yourself this. What happens when life gets hard? What do most do? What do you do? Right? I cry out, I need a break. We want this momentary respite from the madness that's around us. But what happens? It ends up leading us to guilt and to shame and to more sin. And then there's no clear way out. You see, we keep wanting to be free, but does our want or our need to be free actually free us? You know, maybe it's not our thoughts, but it's our effort. Maybe that's what it is. You know what? Don't answer that question yet. Let's go all the way back to the very beginning, right? To the very, very beginning, and see if we attack this problem from creation, if we arrive at a different place. You know, there was a time at the very beginning when Adam and Eve had a perfect relationship with God. It was complete intimacy with him and with each other, and with, you know, an uninterrupted enjoyment of the entire creation. Yeah, I want you to think about candy canes and rainbows, but so much better. You know, and despite this amazing, perfect relationship, they still wanted more. Right? That FOMO, there it is again. It's been here since creation. It led to a rebellion right out the gate because they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because they wanted more. Yet, the world, did it stop? No, it continued to turn. And in fact, as sure as I am that I stand here before you, it's a testament that life continued, right? Things continued to be created. Humans, we became remarkably adept at navigating, right? Navigating, well, life, right? And as we're navigating that life, it seems very natural. It would seem that as we sit here, even those that are far from God still managed to contribute to human progress. Perhaps it's effort that causes us to be freed. Perhaps it's that effort that causes us to be restored. Maybe it's the effort that causes us to be redeemed. You know, let's take Noah, for instance. His superior craftsmanship was demonstrated through his ability to build an ark that withstood the most destructive of storms. You know, I think he would have made a great submariner because his attention to detail was amazing. Right? He was able to save himself, his family, the entire animal kingdom, except for maybe the unicorns. But surely his efforts would have been enough to free himself. I mean, this guy built the ark. It was named after him. It withstood the storm of world history. He must have enough favor. He must have enough good works. He must have done enough in his lifetime to set himself free. But let's put it out there. Does that get it done? does contributing even as much as God asks us to redeem us. The Bible is clear on this fact. No, it doesn't. We cannot earn enough money. We cannot produce enough good works to redeem ourselves. You know, in Romans 3:10, it tells us, no one is righteous, not even one, except the Christ to redeem us. Listen, friends, redemption is a promise of God to deliver us from the power and the presence of sin while simultaneously providing us with that joy and that peace that comes with it. If you think of it this way, what kind of things do we use on an everyday basis that have to be redeemed? Does anybody know? Who here uses coupons? Does anybody use coupons still? I think most of them come electronically these days, right? But that's okay. I probably would save a lot of money if I used coupons. Anyway, when you trade in a coupon, you redeem it. You are given a cash equivalent for it. Now, raise your hand if anybody has ever stopped that Stop and Shop. You know the one right here up on 12? You popped in to get a Monster. Well, that's why I pop in, right? You walk in the door and someone says, hey, here's a coupon. Congratulations, you've been chosen to get one free ham. Present this coupon at the checkout. Now, you didn't go to Stop and Shop for that ham that day, right? But now you're getting one. So you go to the back, you grab the biggest ham that you can find, you walk up to the checkout, you plop that thing on the table, and the cashier says, that'll be $37. And you just smile, right? It might be $37 for the rest of the people, but not for me. Not today. Because I have a coupon. Now you hand that coupon to the clerk, and shabam, it's redeemed. Free ham, no questions asked. Now, what did you pay for this spiral-cut, honey-glazed, tasty goodness? Nothing. What did Stop and Shop pay for it? They paid everything for it. Now, that's how you get redeemed, right? Stop and Shop coupons and honey hams, right? No, of course not. You know, in Isaiah 44:22, it says, I have swept away your sins like a cloud. I have scattered your offenses like the morning mist. Oh, return to me. I have paid the price to set you free. You know, from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible points to Jesus Christ as our redemption. It speaks to the day when broken relationships will be restored forever. You see, redemption is the reversal. It is the buyback. And Jesus is the ultimate coupon. Unfortunately, so many people, they belong to this world, but they don't know what it's like to be God's children. They don't know him. They're like a fatherless child that's, you know, aimlessly wandering around without any direction, without any correction, right? And they're looking for what? They're looking for love. They're looking for acceptance. And they're looking for forgiveness. But they're looking for it in all the wrong places. You know, there's only one person who's qualified to undo the effects of our wrongdoings. The only one who can redeem us is Jesus Christ. He is the eternal Son of God. He dwelt among us as God incarnate on earth. He was born of the Virgin, and he had exempted from original sin. He dwelt among us, and he experienced the same worldly struggles that we do. He was tempted in the same ways that we are tempted. However, he remained spotless. He remained sinless. He never sinned, making him the only worthy sacrifice to pay our ransom and restore us. Listen, friends, during Jesus' lifetime, right, he calmed the storms. He exorcised demons. He cured incurable diseases. He even raised the dead. It was he himself that made all things new. Even in Jesus' death, it was the most genuine act of gracious love ever displayed. Even though sinless himself, he took solely and freely the sins of the world so that all who believe in him could be saved. He alone is our Redeemer. If I could have the band come back up. So I know you're thinking, you're like, now what do I do? Well, if you're already a Christian, we must be personable We've got to be genuine, compassionate people. Right? It's too easy to lose sight of what the most important thing is, especially when you get frustrated. Right? It's too easy to have our focuses shift and then, you know, not be compassionate. It's like we all too easily forget. You know, remember, we are all afflicted by sin from the beginning. And if we change the lens in which we look at the world through, then we can be more sympathetic. You know, sometimes you just have to remove yourself from the situation. Take a breath. You know, Jesus even stated it this way. He said, love your God with all your heart and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. And if we want others to share in this joy, if we want others to feel this peace, if we want others to know the comfort that our Redeemer provides, then we have to live in that peace. We have to model that joy of our redemption. We must respond with God's grace to everyone, every day. You know, you'd be surprised just how amazed you'd be when you forgive somebody else and they feel that gracious love. You know, as Peter stated it in 1 Peter 3:15, through thick and thin, keep your hearts at attention. In adoration before Christ your Master, be ready to speak up and tell anyone who asks why you're living the way you are. And always, I think this is the most important part, and always with the utmost courtesy, right? We can get into arguments. We can argue with people about faith and what they believe, but we need to be doing it with love, and we need to be doing it with graciousness, and we need to be doing it with compassion. You're never a lost cause. You're never too deep in your sin. Jesus has already paid the full price to buy us back from our sins, to fully redeem us. So share that good news. It's offered to us freely, even though it wasn't free for him. It cost him everything, and all we have to do is choose to accept it. You know, friends, if I had to simplify this down to three verses, I would pull up Romans chapter 5, 8 through 11. It sums it up. God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son while we were still enemies, we certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. I mean, what an amazing God. He allowed his Son to pay the price for our wrongdoings. And all he wants is our faith and our love. You online, we all have access to the very throne room of God, to the King of Kings, all because of what Jesus did for us. So if you're sitting here today and you've never taken Jesus into your heart, it's okay. We can do it right now. There's no time like the present. What about you guys out there online? If you're at home, you're just, you know, sitting there on live stream, sitting on your couch, it's okay too. Or even if it's months from now and you just happen to bump into this thing. If you want to feel the joy and the peace that's provided by Jesus, I want to invite everybody to stand up right now. I'm going to put up a prayer up on the screen here. If you want to take Jesus into your heart, all you have to do is say this simple prayer and accept him in your heart and profess it with your mouth. Lord, I'm a sinner and I'm in need of a Savior. I believe Jesus is God and was born sinless, dwelt among us and died for me and my sins, and then 3 days later rose again. Lord, come into my heart and change me. I want the peace and the joy that only you can provide. I need to be redeemed. Now, if you've said that prayer with us today, I want to encourage you. Please reach out to us, right? If you text the word New Life, all one word, to 860-969-2145, we would love to connect with you. So as you prepare your hearts for worship, let's just, Lord, we know that we are all sinners and we're all in need of a Savior. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It is only with you that we are redeemed, Lord. We put our trust and faith in you that you will continue to provide the joy and the peace and the comfort that we know you will. Amen. In your great grace we pray. Now let's worship.
Thank you for your blood that was shed.
grateful for that. It makes all things new. So we get ready to leave here. Let me just share, guys, bring up some of the opportunities just quickly. If you're going to come to Activate tonight, please sign up like now before you leave the building so we know that, okay? Please do that. And that's also, it is Tuesday night, is Christmas Eve, 6:30 to 7:30, Tuesday. Thank you. Thank you for that. Thanksgiving Eve, thank you, is Tuesday. Some of you are convinced it's Christmas because you're putting up your Christmas trees already. Some of you, you know. Yeah, I think some of you had it up before Halloween. But anyway, I'm no more confused than some of you. All right, so Thanksgiving Eve, thank you. Also, Tuesday night, we're going to give the Advent candles and readings. They'll be given out, those. And these are candles that we buy these from Great Britain. Have them shipped here. And then Debbie writes that Advent reading. Hope that you'll be part of that. And then next Saturday is the Christmas. This is true. Christmas decoration here at the church. And so anyway, thank you. As we get ready to leave here, those of you, I just urge all of you, wear a mask on your way out, please. And then those of you that can leave right now, those of you that are 65 and above, I'm not there yet, but getting close. Those of you 65 and above, you guys can leave. Or if you've got an immunity issue, sensitivity, you guys can go ahead and leave. Do that right now. Don't forget to pick up your kids. Thank those who've worked with them, spent a little extra time today with them. Thank you for that. All right. Okay, those of you on the two sides, you guys can slip out. I'm trusting God, aren't you, that this will soon be over? 9 months, I about had it. I don't know about you, but I about had it. But, you know, we've all about had it with it. But, you know, let's continue to honor one another. Those of you next to the wall, you can slip out. Okay? All right, those of you in these two center sections, you guys can take off. God bless you guys. Thanks so much.